1210 on WGN. This is the Wintrust Business Lunch. Pete Zimmerman is the producer. I'm John Williams. Thanks for joining us today. Another interesting lineup of guests, and as much as people are thinking about alternative Thanksgivings, we will visit later in this hour with Chef Beverly Kim from Parachute Restaurant and ParachuteRestaurant.com. So we'll talk a little bit about business there, how they're pivoting, and how you might pick up some of that award-winning food for your Thanksgiving. First, though, let's just talk a little bit about the markets, what's happening with the economy. Returning is Jared Dillian. He's the best-selling finance author. You can find out more at jareddillianmoney.com. Jared, welcome back. You're on WGN. Hello.
Thanks, John. Glad to be back.
Let's jump into the markets right now. What's caught your eye on the big and small boards?
Well, you know, what's happening here, if you think back to March, the pandemic ended up being really, really good for growth stocks like Amazon and Netflix and Peloton and Zoom. And it ended up being really, really bad for value stocks like energy stocks and brick and mortar retail and airlines and cruise lines and stuff like that. When the vaccines were announced, everything reversed. Value stocks went up, growth stocks went down. But what we're experiencing now is a period of time where the pandemic is surging and there's more lockdowns in effect. So we're getting a trade that's similar to what we have in March, where the growth stocks are outperforming again.
I'm glad to see that Steve Mnuchin's name is in the news. It sounds like the White House is going to try and rekindle talks with the Congress, right?
Yeah, I think, you know, I think that any further stimulus, I think that was never in doubt. There's going to be bipartisan agreement in Congress, no matter what the composition of Congress is, that there should be COVID relief, that there should be stimulus. That is going to be forthcoming in the new Congress. Like I said, I don't think that was ever in doubt.
Should I tell my stock analyst, or if I'm a private investor, should I dive into Pfizer or BioNTech or Moderna? Is that a good place to put money right now?
I think there's better places to put money. I think that, you know, especially in the case of Moderna, I think a lot of the vaccine news is already priced in. Pfizer might have a little bit of place to run, but derivative plays like energy, I think, are a lot more interesting. You know, when we get to the time where we have a vaccine, people are going to go back to work. There's going to be increased driving. There's going to be increased demand for petroleum products. I could see the price of oil rising from 42 to 60. I think energy stocks really have a long way to go here.
That's such an interesting observation, because I was just talking the other day to somebody who's in the business, who is an architect. He designs buildings, and so his challenge is not just to react to what's happening right now for the next 12 months with business and workspaces, but then what's going to be the derivative of all of this? And are we going to go back to traditional offices, or does he need to imagine what it's going to be like in the future? I think you just did that with these, say, energy stocks. It's not just about the medicine. It's if we do start to return, maybe energy stocks get a lift, right?
Yeah, I believe that's true. And there's a lot of other places to invest like that. You know, I think there's people like to say that the economy has changed forever. People are going to be working from home. I actually sort of disagree with that. I think people are going to get back into their old habits. There's a lot of REITs, real estate investment trusts. There's office REITs whose prices are down about 60% from the highs. I think that is probably a pretty good buy, because I do think we'll go back to work eventually.
Do you think the composition of a Biden cabinet is going to matter much to us on Main Street? And what do you think about a Biden presidency? Has the market already factored that in?
I think it's very positive. You know, I think if we're looking at who the possible candidates are for Biden's cabinet, it's very moderate folks. It's people like Meg Whitman, who is a Republican. It's Heidi Heitkamp, maybe for agriculture. It's Doug Jones. I mean, these are all moderates. And the fear going into the election was that Biden would cave in to progressive demands. He's conspicuously not nominating Elizabeth Warren as Treasury Secretary. He's going to do Janet Yellen. So I think this is all a very positive sign.
I want your take, too, on grocery bills, mortgage payments, credit cards, and college loans. We've been talking about all of those this week a little bit. Give us your spin on that in a minute. Best-selling finance author Jared Dillian joins us. We're talking about a variety of things that have happened this week. He is bullish on a new Biden administration and cabinet. Is that a fair assessment, Jared?
Yeah, that's absolutely a fair assessment. I mean, we got, I think what we got was voters' subconscious desires for less polarized government. And, you know, presented with two choices, you know, Trump, who is pretty extreme on the right, and Biden was perceived to be pretty extreme on the left. And what we got was something straight down the middle, and it ended up being the best possible scenario.
I guess that's the Biden administration take. I don't quibble with that at all. I hope that the Congress will be as sensible as I thought the Biden-Harris ticket will be. I mean, that's that they have the power of the purse.
Yeah, I think there's going to be agreement on some things, and there's going to be disagreement on other things. There's going to be bipartisan agreement on spending, that's for sure. If we have a 50-50 Senate, there is the possibility that we'll have tax hikes. If we have a 52-48 Senate, I can assure you that there will not be any tax hikes. So there will be disagreement on that, and there will be disagreement on other policy matters.
Yeah. Not to go down that road, I want to talk about some other retail things, but really at some point these bills are going to have to get paid, though. And how do you not pay them without taxes? I just worry about this mountain of debt that we say we need to add on to now because there's a fire. But good grief, when are we going to start to put this thing out?
Well, you know, the problem is that the deficits are so large that there really is, you could raise taxes to 100% on every single person in the United States, and you would barely pay down the deficit. If you raise taxes on the top 1% to 100%, you would only raise $800 billion, which is a quarter of what we need to pay down the deficit. The deficits have gotten so large that tax revenue is almost meaningless.
So what are we going to do? So what have you got in mind then, fella? I mean, we do have to. I mean, I know debt is not a horrible thing, but too much debt is. Jared, is aren't we at a horrible kind of level here?
We are at a horrible kind of level. We're basically at the turning point where if we were to practice some austerity and raise taxes and cut spending significantly, yeah, over the course of about 20 years, we could significantly pay down the debt. The problem is that there's nobody in the government that has any political will to do that.
We're feeling that in Illinois. Well, then what happens when these college loans forbearance ends at the end of the year? I wonder what happens with college loans, and what do you think of the idea of debt forgiveness for students?
I disagree with debt forgiveness on a philosophical basis. A lot of people say that it would be good for the economy, that it would increase consumption. You know, one thing that people haven't considered with debt forgiveness is that if, just say, for example, we were to forgive $50,000 worth of debt, that would trigger a tax liability because that would be a gift. And somebody with a 20% tax rate would have to come up with $10,000 in cash to pay taxes on that debt forgiveness. So from a practical standpoint, it gets pretty tricky.
Yeah, think about that. That was a point that kind of came up earlier on the show today. Let's just reiterate that. If you have debt forgiveness, at least for many of the loans, not all of them, but if you get debt forgiveness, that's considered income. I mean, that money had to come from somewhere to pay it off. And since you control that income, if you will, that debt forgiveness, it's treated as income. So if you're in a 20% bracket, if we forgive $10,000 worth of loans, you still owe $2,000 in taxes back to the government.
Yeah, that's absolutely correct. What's happening with the student loans is that Elizabeth Warren tweeted that she wanted Joe Biden to forgive $50,000 of student loans by executive order. And my standpoint is, if student loan forgiveness is such a great idea, then it should be able to be easily passed by Congress. But of course, it can't be passed by Congress, which is why they want them to do it by executive order, which is really the wrong way to do it.
Amazed that we give the executive that much power anyway. Let's talk about credit cards for a minute. What are you reading or hearing about that?
Well, you know, consumers have been deleveraging pretty consistently since the start of the pandemic. With the savings rate exploded at the beginning of the pandemic, it went up to 33%. It's down to about 14% now. People are spending more money a little bit, but consumers have actually been deleveraging, which, you know, from a personal finance standpoint, is pretty good. People have been paying down their credit card bills and consumer credit has been dropping.
So what should we do for Christmas then? Would this be a year for people to spend because, it's good for the economy, or should people save their money right now?
People should absolutely save their money. But, you know, the problem is that, you know, Christmas is a big deal in some families. It's not a big deal in my family, but in some families you have somebody who has, you know, a, sort of an average income of $50,000, and they'll end up putting $7,000 on the credit card for Christmas, and then they'll pay a couple thousand dollars in interest on that over the course of the next year. Not really a good idea.
Yeah, it never was, but I do want consumer spending to help the economy, right? Don't you?
Yeah, I mean, it's a double-edged sword, because if you go into debt to facilitate that consumer spending, then you end up worse off in the long run.
I remember, though, in 2007, George Bush was saying, everybody, please spend money, spend money. In fact, well, here's money. Go buy a washer. Go buy a dryer. It was, and when we did get stimulus, they were saying, don't save it. Don't pay debt. Put it back into the economy. Don't I remember that correctly?
It actually, I think you might have the date wrong, or less maybe did it twice. But it happened in 2001 after the September 11th terrorist attacks.
You're absolutely right. Yeah. And I'm just imagining that we do need something like that right now too.
Yeah, I mean that's sort of a, you know, if you're an economist, that's a very Keynesian way to look at the economy. Consumer spending is good for the economy in the short run, but what is good for the economy in the long run is savings and investment. And that's what we should always be encouraging people to do, is to save and to invest.
What are you hearing about grocery bills? Are those going to go up now, too?
They are going up. They've gone up about 10% since the start of the pandemic, sort of unequally in different areas. You know, food inflation is a problem we're having right now. And if you're looking at the prices of commodities like corn, wheat, soybeans, the soft commodities, coffee, cocoa, everything is going up. I mean, not significantly, but it's all going up.
And will energy costs impact that too, if the energy costs go up like you alluded to earlier?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, keep in mind that I'm really the only person that's calling for this to happen. The consensus about oil prices and energy right now is that it's going to stay low for a long time. I'm just a little bit out of consensus. I think it's going to go up.
I appreciate your mentioning that. And then one last thing here. Interest rates are low. What's your observation about real estate and mortgages right now?
You know, mortgage rates are in the high twos a lot of places. This is the cheapest mortgages have been in a long time. Real estate prices have gone up about 12% since the start of the pandemic. If you have not yet refinanced your mortgage, if you have a mortgage that is 3.5% or higher, you must refinance. I don't anticipate rates going up anytime soon, but I don't think they're going any lower, and you have to take advantage of this opportunity.
Jared, everybody that comes on the show gets to answer the question, what should the value of stimulus be, or what shape should it take? And what's your thought about unemployment benefits?
Well, the problem with the enhanced unemployment benefits, as a lot of Republican senators pointed out, is that people are getting paid more not to work than they were to work. And that provides a powerful disincentive to find work. There's a lot of economic research that shows that if people get unemployment benefits for 6 months, they don't go out to look for a job until the unemployment benefits are about to expire. So they provide a powerful disincentive not to find a job.
Yeah, I could line up some research that would disagree with that in this run, that there were, the last research I heard was that it did not provide the disincentive because people knew it was going to run out, and if they had a chance to go back to their job, they would do it. The problem was the jobs weren't there.
Yeah, I think the jobs are going to be there. I mean, I'm very optimistic about the economy in general. I think once we get past the inauguration, once we get past this uncertainty, then the vaccines start to get distributed, I think I actually foresee a time where the economy starts to run hot and you see unemployment get back down into the fives and the fours.
Yeah, boy, wouldn't that be nice? And then one last thing then, is $1,200 the right number if we do a stimulus, or should it come as unemployment benefits that are appropriate?
I think all the possibilities are bad. I think $1,200 is probably the right number. I hate to do it in the form of enhanced unemployment benefits. I think a one-time stimulus is probably better.
Yeah. Nice to talk to you, Jared. Thanks for joining us again. Jared Dillian, the finance author. You can find his stuff at jareddillianmoney.com. Thanks, Jared.
Thanks.
12:34 on WGN. This is the Wintrust Business Lunch. I'm John Williams. Our next guest is Rob Richmond, CEO and co-founder of Lisa. LisaApp.com is how you connect with these people. Rob, welcome to the Business Lunch. You're on WGN.
Oh, hey, thanks. Thanks for having me, John. I appreciate it.
You know, we talk a lot about how businesses are managing and adapting, and yours is really a good example because you have to. You provided services for employees at the place of employment, but since they're not gathering there anymore, your business had to find a way to still reach these customers, right?
You're right. Talk about a forced pivot. You know, I mean, we were pre-COVID in about 400 companies nationwide providing services for their employees, hair, nails, makeup, massage, skin services. And when March rolled around and COVID came into town, you know, each company one by one started, you know, dropping off. So we've had to be very innovative over these last 7-8 months.
What was it like for you guys in March and April?
Oh, gosh. You know, it was like walking through a minefield, you know, because we knew it had to happen. But at the same time, you know, I was very concerned for the artist community, for our investors, for my team, knowing that, you know, one by one, these large companies, and we, you know, we're working with companies like, you know, Grubhub and CBRE and, you know, Inova, really large corporations. And one by one, they started dropping off. It was very scary.
You were afraid to answer the phone, I suppose, huh?
Well, yeah. I mean, it was a barrage of really emails of saying, we're so sorry, but, you know, we need to limit the number of people coming into the building. And this is before, you know, this is before companies were completely shutting down.
Right.
So, you know, we knew that, you know, as an amenity, we were going to be one of the first to go in that situation.
And so this is, you guys are in Richmond, Illinois. This is a business that you and your wife started, and it's grown. It's gone really well, right?
Yeah. I mean, we, over the last, you know, 4.5 years, grew into 17 states, you know, have serviced, you know, thousands upon thousands of people. And actually, my last name is Richmond. We're out of Riverwoods, Illinois.
Yes, yes, yes.
Most of our business, you know, are in major metropolitan, cities like Chicago, New York, LA, Seattle. And yeah, we've grown it, quite a bit.
So how would a business like ours, I mean, we've got 50, 100 people here at WGN Radio. We're in a skyscraper downtown Chicago. Would you have a masseuse or a haircutter person come into our building and in some common area they'd say, hey, they're giving haircuts in the conference room today at 2, something like that?
Yeah, that's exactly what would happen. We would work out the details with, you know, HR, whoever would set it up, the coordinator, and we would schedule multiple services within your building for, you know, not just the folks over at WGN, but anybody in the building that would want to partake, whether it's a haircut or, yes, a massage. All of our services are 30 minutes or less, so, you know, the employees are never away from their desk for very long, and it really creates the value of time for these employees to not have to, you know, waste a Saturday or Sunday and spend a couple hours doing it. Because everybody has a really busy life. So we take care of everything, you know, very quickly for everyone.
Maybe the building managers should do that instead of individual.
Yeah,
companies.
Yeah. And
that's, everybody.
And that actually, John, is, you know, kind of a good segue because what happened, through COVID is we again had to innovate and create kind of a new business model. So we looked to, well, solve the problem of, well, if they're not going into work, where are they? So we started, you know, we launched Lisa for Residential and started partnering with residential buildings and communities across the country. And we are finding, you know, an amazing amount of traction in that world right now. Companies like Greenwald in Chicago and Flats and Common and, you know, Graystar, which is the largest property manager in the world, is bringing us into buildings all over the country for them right now. So, you know, we provide a much safer alternative to the residents in these buildings, providing them services with artists that are coming in temperature checked and wearing masks and gloves, then say 500 of their tenants going out to 70 different salons and potentially bringing the virus back to the building.
It's funny. I got a buddy who is working at home now in a South Loop high rise. He's working from home. He has really long hair now. And
exactly.
You know what I mean? And but if he told his building manager, hey, let's have these Lisa people come to our building and I can get my toenails done or I can get my hair cut or I can get a facial or a massage, things that you would have otherwise gone out for. Some of the things he might not have even contracted for personally, but if they're in the lobby, maybe he's, and his building would be the kind of customer you're looking for.
Well, you're absolutely right, John. And on top of that, think about this. You know these buildings that your friend is currently living in, he's paying for amenities right now that he's simply not getting. They're not allowed to use the pool or the gym or any of the, common rooms. So, these property managers are looking for a way to keep these tenants and these residents happy. And Lisa is truly a service that moves the needle in people's lives. You know, people are still going out and risking getting COVID to get their hair cut or to get, their nails done. So let's provide that for these residential communities in a very safe way.
How do you price it? Does the building tend to subsidize it, or is it all on the customer?
Well, that's a great question, and I would say it's about 50-50. There are buildings that are – we have three different ways that you can pay for our services. Number one is the building pays for everything as amenity for their residents. Number two is a subsidy of some sort. And number three is, a subscription model where the building pays X amount of dollars per month, which brings in – X amount of artists per month, and then the residents pay for a lion's share of it, which, by the way, the residents are more than happy to pay for these services if all they have to do is jump on their elevator, press one, and they're getting these services.
I think a lot of wives would be happy to see their husbands avail themselves of these services.
Absolutely. I mean, look, the one constant in the world is people still want to look and feel good, and we can help them, with that.
Yeah. Yeah, what a good idea. Okay, Rob Richmond, CEO and co-founder of Lisa. So I guess click on the app or the website, lisaapp.com, and that's maybe the way for people to connect with you guys, huh?
Yep, that's how they can get in touch with us, and we'd be more than happy to help more and more buildings across Chicago.
Okay, Rob, my mind is spinning with the opportunities here for you. Lisaapp.com, lisaapp.com. Rob Richmond, good luck. Thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate being on your show.
On the Wintrust Business Lunch, 12:42. Speaking of that, here's Steve Grzanich.
Start your timer. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing Chicago's business news of the day. A suburban property developer and two contractors will pay $370,000 to settle a lawsuit filed over the botched demolition that left a cloud of dust over the Little Village neighborhood earlier this year. The suit was filed against Hilco Redevelopment and other companies. Hilco is redeveloping the former Crawford Power Plant on South Pulaski Road. The developer used explosives to implode a smokestack on Easter weekend, which created a massive dust cloud, sparking outrage among residents. Ferrero North America, the chocolate company behind Nutella and Fannie Mae, has announced plans to build a chocolate factory in downstate Bloomington. It'll be the company's first in North America. The company will invest $75 million to expand an existing production facility there to build a chocolate manufacturing center. That plant currently produces the Crunch Bar and Snow Caps. Morton's The Steakhouse has closed its original location at 1050 North State Street. COVID-19 restrictions are to blame. The closure happened on November 17th. The location opened in 1978. Morton's location at 65 East Wacker Place will remain open. I'm Steve Grzanich, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
Chef Beverly Kim joins us now on WGN Radio. You know that name from Top Chef and restaurants like Parachute. Beverly, welcome to WGN. How are you?
Hi, I'm great. Thank you for having me.
How's Thanksgiving coming for you all, and what is your restaurant doing about it?
All right. So we actually sold out of our packages because we had a limited amount, but we are maybe have two or three if anyone wants to phone in at Parachute. We are just doing a Mama Kim inspired Korean American Thanksgiving set. So it's pre-made and to be warmed up at home, but really delicious and really exciting. But we also just released some, holiday gifts that you can go to our website that the donations will go to the nonprofit Abundance Setting to support working moms in the culinary industry as they are having a very difficult time.
I was on your website, and I want to talk a little bit about that here in just a second. But just for those people that did want to order Parachute food for their Thanksgiving, You say you virtually sold out, maybe room for a few more orders. There was like a Little Kim set, and then there were different opportunities there, different orders or packages I could order.
So we do, so the Thanksgiving set is, we have maybe three or four, but please give us a call at our Parachute restaurant and go to our website with the phone number. We have a few that we can hand sell. We are going to be open the night before Thanksgiving with our a la carte menu. You're more than welcome to order from our a la carte menu and use that. We have a very small staff. So we had started with 50 employees between two restaurants. We are down to 10 total full-time employees. It's just been a devastating year. And because of that, we commit to a certain number, and that's all we can really afford. But also I wanted to share that, so Parachute is open for takeout Wednesday through Saturday. And then Wirithal, my other restaurant, we decided not to reopen it until, like, the pandemic is kind of clear. But instead, we are doing community meal relief through Wirithal. So every Tuesday, we give free hot meals. Doesn't matter who you are. You can be an ex-industry, like restaurant industry worker who's furloughed, or just anybody, senior citizen who needs a fresh hot meal. This week we're doing a turkey Thanksgiving set. But also, thanks to the Lee Initiative, I'm adding on one more day a week, Thursdays, for free hot meals that will be going to the community. So please stop by Tuesdays and Thursdays at Wirithal for free hot meals.
What's the address on that?
3472 North Elston Avenue. And it's just been a devastating year for everyone. This is one of the silver linings that we're here to help our meal, you know, putting our talents to just cooking for people in need. There's so many people with food insecurity right now. And this is a tough time in the holidays. We want to get through it together. I'm also collaborating with other women in the Chicagoland area, small, independent women entrepreneurs. And it's on my website. Or if you go to my Instagram link, my Instagram has a link to Let's Talk Corporate Holiday Tasting. So if you are trying to figure out what to do for your corporate holiday parties, we can have these meal sets that support local independent women restaurateurs for your holiday gift parties.
Hmm. I know that some of the famous restaurants, you're a Michelin star winner. We know you from, among other things, Top Chef in 2011. But, I mean, some people think, well, I'm not going to take the time or spend the money to dine in. But some people are availing themselves of dining out. You would not think of maybe ordering out from a Parachute, but some people are. Has that helped your business through the pandemic?
Yeah, our takeout program is the only way we're going to survive, especially with the indoor dining being closed. And we also, our space is way too small to even consider indoor dining. And I've been lucky. I haven't had any COVID cases. And I really think it's because we keep our team small and we focused and we all take precautions. And, you know, this is the only way we can really survive, but also be safe.
Two other things to ask you about real quick. One is corn pudding.
Oh, corn pudding?
Yes.
Well, yeah, actually, do you have a question about corn pudding?
Not necessarily, but I did see a recipe, and I think it was yours, right, for a sort of an alternative dish if you're cooking at home for Thanksgiving?
Oh, was that from the Business Insider?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, so that actually, I can't take credit for that. I shared. So Molly was one of our team members. Every year at Parachute, we always, and Wirithal too, we always had a staff potluck that was, and I was telling her how devastating it is because this year we won't have that potluck. It's just like everyone's disseminated. But one of the best dishes that I loved that was one of my employees, Molly, was a corn pudding, and she was happy to share that recipe.
Yeah.
It uses Jiffy. I mean, don't judge us.
I was so happy to see that. I mean, it's yogurt or it's sour cream, it's butter, it's corn, and then you're going through and then add one box of corn muffin mix. Kim recommends Jiffy and stir, and I thought, thank you.
Yeah, it's easy. And I think that's the thing is, with this pandemic, we're looking for easy but delicious recipes because we all have so much, especially parents with the Zoom online. And it's just been an incredible year. So
we will steal and share this recipe on our webpage for the Wintrust Business Lunch. Pete, I'm going to charge you with posting that recipe. One last thing. Just give me a minute on your thoughts about third-party delivery services. I know the city council is looking at some tighter regulations on their fees. What's your thought about how that's been going?
I feel really confident that the aldermen are in. Well, it was like unanimously passed with the finance and licensing teams, but we need 2/3 to get this passed by so that Thanksgiving we can actually be capped of those 30% fees. This is something that we are, restaurant industry is at record losses, record, like closures, and these third-party apps are making record profits. So it doesn't make sense. I mean, we need each other, right, to survive. So let's be reasonable and let's support the fee cap. It's very reasonable. We're asking for 15% total. And I'm telling you, 15%, nobody's making even for 15% profitability right now.
Let alone that on a delivery service. This was a real wake-up call to us in March, April, May, when everybody realized the restaurants were going to be challenged. And all of a sudden we thought, wait a minute, we're paying who, how much? It was a slap in the face, I think, for all of us on either end of that equation.
Absolutely. I don't think the consumers are aware of where their money is going.
We are out of time. Beverly Kim is the James Beard Award-winning chef. And you know Parachute Restaurant. Well, ParachuteRestaurant.com's got some interesting information. And don't forget her mentioning that Tuesdays and Thursdays, free hot meals, including at 3472 North Elston. Nice to talk to you, Beverly. What a great idea. Thanks for your time today.
Thank you so much. Happy holidays.